bleed red.
Okay.
I was trying to think of a cool way to say Wonder Bra then, and I couldn't. All I could think of was trying to do it in Angelina Jolie's accent. And
do you know what? I don't think her accent is too bad.
It's not terrible, but it's not good. And Daniel Craig are both doing bad impressions of each other.
I know. Daniel Craig's American accent is bad. Maybe it's just because I know what his voice sounds like so well. It just sounds all wrong.
So in Knives Out, he plays like a detective from the South, and his accent, from what I remember, was like perfect. So I think it's just because I would imagine he maybe hadn't had to play in America many times before this, because this was before he was born. So Daniel Craig was like a semi-famous British TV actor, I think, mostly.
Yeah, I had heard of him before. I knew who he was, but he would definitely be too big for a film like this now.
Oh my God, of course.
I mean, so would Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, definitely. Even though, so this was, right, so, hello everyone.
Hi. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
At La Cinema, no, at La Discotheque, there we go.
Ah, Poorly Read, oh, La Discotheque.
Yeah, throughout this entire episode, all you're going to hear is boo, boo, boo.
Is that what a discotheque
That's
sounds like?
The disco sound effect. Boo, 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 boo. Boo, boo, boo. Like that.
Is that like a particular bit from an ABBA song, or are we done with ABBA now?
That's like in every non-funk disco song without fail, you hear boo, 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 or boo, boo, boo. That. Without fail. And I can almost say that like with 100% certainty. I don't remember ever hearing a disco song that doesn't have that in it.
Okay, I'll be listening out for it.
Yeah.
Because of all that non-funk disco I listen to.
I fucking hate funk disco. I really do. Everything by Nile Rodgers, I just don't like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though that's such like a hallmark of disco, I don't like that. I like the pop disco sound. It's just, I just don't like the funk disco. I think it's bad. Anyway, what are we talking about? Accents, Angelina Jolie. Right, yeah, so she was like hot off winning her Oscar in like 2000, I think. So she was like,
oh, what did she win that like, for?
Oh, for Girl Interrupted, which is one of my favorite films. She won Best Supporting Actress. She was amazing in that. She'd been famous for a long time, but she'd kind of like arrived properly by then. She'd arrived as Angelina Jolie, the movie star, when she was doing this. And it's just a bit of a shame because I don't think her acting's very good in this when she's actually a really good actress. So
I mean, it didn't strike me as a bad performance. It's just a terrible film.
Yeah, I think the script is so bad that she kind of did the best she could.
Yeah, it's like there's only, even the best actors in the world are only going to be able to do so much with the film.
I think
like
she
this,
was just
I
trying
think.
To focus on the accent, and that kind of was the main part of her performance. That and being sexy with finger pistols.
And real pistols.
Real pistols, finger pistols. Combine them both. Not a good idea.
Something that I know. So was this film based on the video game? The video game come first? I think it did. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I think Tomb Raider came out in like 95 or something, or 96.
It was late 90s, yeah. Because so like in the video game, the PlayStation 1 could only really handle like very basic geometric shapes.
Yeah.
And so Lara Croft's boobs were always just like these blocky squares just stuck to her chest. Or like points from certain angles, like pointy triangles. Yeah. And I feel like they made deliberate effort to recreate that in this film.
I feel like everything about this film, to me, from the little I know about video games, it felt like a script for a video game.
Yes, it very
like,
much did.
In every way. And in the way
and it,
that...
And it probably would have worked fine as a video game.
Yeah, I was thinking that exact same thing. You slap bang in the middle of this film, I thought, do you know what? I bet if this was a video, an actual video game, this would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it was written by either the people who wrote the video game or by video game writers. Yeah. It just seemed... Oh, God. Everything about it was just fucking hell. Let me say the most unnatural thing I can in this possible moment. Coffee and parrots are the same thing. It's like, what? Put that in there. That's dynamite, Dan. No. Oh, thanks, Buzz. So, Lara walks into the tomb. She sees on the wall, coffee and parrots are the same thing. She reads it out loud in Germanic astrological text, and then the wall opens up and a fucking ball of monkeys fall out. Okay.
And she pulls a hot steaming cup of parrot out the wall.
I need a cup of parrot, otherwise I can't think. Okay, now I have my cup of parrot. Time for a plate of banana.
Is that coffee repeating okay. What I'm saying?
I love it, Dan. Send it to the presses. And while you're at it, put in some disco sounds. Okay, Lara says, boop, 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 boop.
Non-funk disco, mind you.
If I hear that fucking twangy guitar, I'm gonna have an episode. Yeah. fucking hell. Yeah, this film was... even. I just thought... I just felt like everyone felt embarrassed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah, I get the feeling that it was probably a fun time on set. So I feel like if everyone kind of knew what the vibe was, that they probably had a laugh.
Yeah, I mean, there was clearly a budget.
I felt like there wasn't enough of a budget. I felt
really?
It needed more of a budget to overcome some of its issues. Like, it, obviously there was, like, the sets were great, but I feel like they were not great enough when they needed to be. But it might have just been the limitations of, like, 2001 CGI, I think.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I mean, the first robot doesn't look very good when she's fighting it.
I don't think I paid attention to the robot that much in that scene because I was just too distracted by Angelina Jolie's expressions.
Yeah.
Her mouth was doing a lot and I was like, wow, I can see why Brad Pitt took a shine to her. She's got a huge talent! Anyway, so fucking hell, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, terrible film full of great people.
Yeah.
Also, the guy who plays her dad is her actual dad in real life.
Yeah, John Voight. Oh, I actually did know that. I'm not really sure why I know that. I know.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sort of like the scene where they had that talk towards the end. That's where apparently like really like emotional because she'd had like trouble connecting with their dads kind of throughout her life. But so this is a really actual pivotal film in the Angelina Jolie story because the scenes shot in Cambodia were actually shot in Cambodia. And this is where she adopted her son, her first son, Maddox. And then her and her dad fell out because her dad said that he didn't think that she'd be a responsible mother. And she was like, go fuck yourself.
You know, I'm just playing the character Lara Croft, Dad. You of all people should know what acting is.
But yeah, it's sort of like the Angelina Jolie after this is kind of the Angelina Jolie that we know now, kind of the more like, because she was like a proper like wild child before this, and then she did this and she kind of found a bit more like spiritual kind of peace and shed a son and she become the icon that she is.
Wow, that's interesting that you said that scene where she reconnects with her dad at the end was really like emotional and important for her, because the way it was filmed, it looks like they're not actually in the room together. Like, you never, like, they're so rarely in shot at the same time, and when they are, it looks like a split screen. And it, like,
I know what you mean, actually. Maybe that was like, maybe that's the kind of what they could get. Maybe it got a bit too raw at times. Maybe it took a long time to film that or something, if it was a bit of a cathartic experience. So maybe they kind of just had to use the least intense version of that scene.
Maybe.
That they filmed.
Yeah.
Or maybe they weren't in the same room. Because she was like, I can't handle it. I fucking hate my dad just getting on Skype. What Skype? Damn it. Get him on my Nokia 3310. Vibrate only, please. So yeah, fucking hell, let's fucking swing like she does straight into
the first tomb that she raided.
Yeah, do you know what, let me just say this quickly though, both the Tomb Raider films that she did are bad, but I think the second one is actually a lot more entertaining than this one. Watching this one back, I think the second one's actually not as much of a train wreck. It's more kind of exciting.
I'm surprised there even was a second one.
Yeah, the second one's called The Cradle of Life and it's a similar... She needs to raid a tomb.
Is it based in Africa?
Is it in Africa?
It's called The Cradle of Life. It fucking should be.
I actually think it is. And they need to find Pandora's box because bad people are after it.
Good for Pandora. Really?
Oh, Pandora, every time you open your legs, fucking pestilence comes out. What have you been eating, eh?
Why you got so much pestilence in there?
Hello, so fucking hell, yeah. We open up on her hanging from a rope.
Yes. And straight from this scene that's, you know, meant to like set the tone of the film, I guess. Raiding a spooky tomb. And she gets to the treasure at the end. And then, cacao! Shittily animated robot jumps out.
Also, what do you get chocolate from?
Cacao, you say? Let me mix this into my hot steaming cup of parrot.
So yeah, a robot comes out. To me, I mean, I actually didn't think anything of the robot, so I just maybe wasn't paying attention enough.
I think like it was mixed between, like, there was definitely a model of the robot, but there were some parts of its movement that were CGI animated, and those it pretty clearly turned into like a cartoon robot.
I feel, I mean, I'm not being funny, but I think even now that they still haven't fucking perfected that.
Yeah, probably not.
Of anything that's meant to move like a human. Which is, let me just have this little sidebar nation here. But what I don't get about fucking animating a human and mocapping a human, right? The pitfall of every fucking CGI human, even fucking today, is that they move too smoothly. Like, you're mocapping someone, they're moving exactly the way they do. Why can't that just be directly translated?
Yeah.
Yeah,
If I knew more about the process, I'd try and answer for you.
Anyway, I'm willing to overlook all that to see ABBA. Anyway, so fucking hell, yeah, she beats up the robot, then the robot comes back to life.
Yeah, and I was already rolling my eyes in exasperation at this point.
Yeah, I was like, man, this whole bit is dumb and stupid, because she could have actually died, and then what?
Yeah.
And then she fucking, what does she do? She takes out the Kill Lara program and puts in Lara's playlist.
Yeah, Lara's party mix.
I bought the soundtrack to this film and it is a dope soundtrack. I will give it that. That's probably the best bit about this film is the music. And then we find out that it's not a fucking like mummy's tomb. She's not going to fucking suddenly have Brendan Fraser jump out.
It's a daddy's tomb.
Just full of brown sores. So yeah. Yeah, she fucking comes out of the... It's not even a simulation. It's like a purpose-built thing, right? In her fucking house or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And then she goes to her science nerd friend. She's like, oh, did you mean to put it on extra killie mode? And he's like...
bloody hell, Lara. Not live shots. Don't use live rounds on it, Lara.
But yeah, then her butler shows up. He's the guy from Red Dwarf / British Empire.
I feel like I recognise, but I couldn't place from what.
Yeah, big in the 90s, like so many other things that we love. yeah, he shows up and he's like, something again, madam, or something like that.
Speak up, Wilfred.
Oh, a fucking roll of marzipan again, madam.
Oh, yeah, it's jolly like, good.
Yeah, thank you very much. Can you squeeze it into a thin tube? I'm going to open my mouth, stare straight up at the ceiling so my esophagus makes a straight line. And I just want you to directly deposit it into my stomach. It's like, as you wish, madam.
And that's how she feeds.
That is how she feeds. It's also not good for her type 1 diabetes, but she's... The Tomb Raider. She lives life on the edge. She's like, okay, I want you to put my insulin needle at the top of her house in the secret place. And he's like, okay, start the timer.
And she just gets halfway through and just starts to feel very tired.
Yeah. And then she fucking goes into a coma. So the butler has to run upstairs, get the needle, stick her with it. And she's like, did I do it? And he's like, not quite, madam, but a valiant effort. She's like, I'll do it next time. maybe we just need more marzipan.
Yes.
He's like, no, that's the opposite of what we need. She's like, no, more sugar will keep me going for longer before I pass out. He's like, oh, God.
Maybe try putting it in both ends.
Brilliant idea. Brilliant idea, Smee. Yeah. Put it in both ends at the same time. Make the bottom half a bit more goopy so it can fit through the rivets of my intestine.
Yes, madam, very good.
I'm just imagining them taking her to hospital. And they're like, what's wrong? And she's like, I've got type 1 diabetes and I filled both my ends with marzipan.
I filled both my esophagus and my anus with marzipan. I was trying to give myself more energy to reach my insulin needle.
They're like, ah, oh, yeah, we get this all the time.
Yeah, we got another one.
Yeah. Right, can we get the equipment for we have another Battenberg syndrome here? Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, fucking hell. She goes and has a sexy shower.
Yeah, just with such ridiculously gratuitous shower shots.
Yeah, we didn't.
I mean, why was any of that necessary?
Yeah, and a fucking butler comes in with like a white dress, and he's like, "Oh, I want you to dress like a lady," and she's like, "I'm not a lady." And then he's like, "Yeah, sorry, I forgot, but surgery's in 2 weeks," and she's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna keep it in a pickle jar though." Then fucking hell, cut to Venice, which we all remember from Tomb Raider 2, the video game. And the Illuminati is fucking having an exposition.
Yeah, they sure are. With bloody sexy Jorah Mormont, who I know you won't know, but is the character that this actor plays in Game of Thrones. And I feel like I'd just be remiss if I don't mention that.
Oh, see, I know him. He plays Batman in the Titans series at the moment.
Yeah.
It was really insane watching him because he's aged a lot in this space of time. Like, he must have probably been in his early 40s in this film, I reckon.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, to me, I've only ever known him from Game of Thrones and he looks, I don't know, 50s, I guess, in that.
Oh, seeing Titans, he looks like... He's still attractive. He just looks like an attractive old man. He looks like he's got white hair and everything now. And so, but I guess if he's in his 60s, like, you know...
Oh, that's what happens, isn't it?
Well, for some people.
It's going to happen for me, isn't it?
The Illuminati are like, so pal, have you got the key to find the triangle that's got to give us godlike powers to control time? Because you know that very soon the planets are going to align and we only have time to do it in this special thing. It's in 5 days or a week or something, and today is this date and it must be done by this date. And it's like, fucking hell, like, everyone in this room knows this already. Who are you saying this for?
Yeah. That's so true.
I would have rather, even though it's not a good storytelling device, I would have preferred if in the beginning there was that sort of like, long ago, before there was an ancient city that blah, blah, blah did this thing. But the triangle was split in half and split in, and then blah, blah, blah. And then it just fades to black. And then we just get like, then the film starts. I would have preferred that than to this heavy fucking handed plop on the floor of what the story is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, even though both are not good ways of storytelling for the most part, I would have preferred that. Because we do see it, like her fucking dad does what I just said, basically, but like midway through the film in a stupid, ridiculous fucking flashback / dream / memory / fucking we've got John Voight and he's demanding more pay, so we need to have this scene. Like, it just, oh, God, everything is so upsetting. Anyway.
He tells them he'll have the key within 1 week.
So we fucking cut back to England and Lara is at her desk.
Yes, she's mourning her father.
Yeah, she's like, do you know what day it is today? And then Red Dwarf is like, it's the 5th, madam. She's like, and today is never a good day. And he's like, but why? And she's like, it's the day my dad died. He's like, ah, do you want to talk about it? She's like, no. It's like, well, I do. So, the day your dad died was the best day of my life.
Yeah, yeah. He turns silently and walks from the room.
Yeah. Go get back in the freezer where you belong. Yeah, she goes and has a look at her dad's memorial. And it's not like he died on this day. It's went missing in action on this day in 1985 or whatever. And it's like, that's a weird thing to put.
Yeah. See, why is that important that he's not dead, but it's not like he comes back?
Yeah, exactly. Just put, like, just say, because if someone goes missing for that amount of time, they usually, after a certain amount of time, you can legally have them declared dead.
Yeah.
But anyway, she fucking goes back to her room where a fucking massive telescope has fucking appeared. She's like, look, Red Dwarf, it's a planetary alignment.
Yeah. If I squat on top of the telescope, tell me if my planets are aligned.
Yes, if you look at just the right angle, my clit, my vulva, and my perineum all line up in an exact straight line.
But only once every 5,000 years.
Yes! You have to draw it exactly, otherwise it just looks all mushy. Oh, God. And then she goes to sleep that night, and then she has flashback.
Flashback.
And it's her dad telling her things.
That's her dad telling her things.
Lara, you have to... You know, Lara, back in the day, there was a fucking triangle. And if you did things with a triangle, you can go back in time. Then the Aztecs split it in half and blah, blah, blah. You know where they hid one half of it? It's when this place called the Secret Temple of the Light of the Forgotten City of Mantrapur. And it's covered in monkeys and moss, but in one special part of this temple, there's a jasmine tree, that special jasmine that you can only get in this secret underground part of Kuala Lumpur. And if that's where the triangle's kept, that's where the triangle's kept, Lara! Anyway, you're 5 years old, so fuck off. Yeah. And then she wakes up.
Yeah, she gets woken up by the sound of ticking.
Yeah.
Or is it vibrating?
It's actually a bomb that she swallowed earlier. She's like, oh, fuck. I really shouldn't drink and do mechanics at the same time. Oh, well. Oh, now I remember. I hid the anti-detonation device over the other side of the house. I have exactly a minute to get to it.
Oh, but I haven't had my marzipan. I feel so dreadfully tired.
Oh, fuck. Oh, at least I have my EpiPen. Just in case any bees show up. Anyway, so she fucking follows the sound of the ticking clock. And it turns out it's under the stairs in a secret cabin. But she fucking smashes in with like a candlestick or whatever. And I was just like, what?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You like, just what the fuck? And anyway, she fucking gets in there and there's a light bulb in there that she turns on. And then she opens the box that she saw in her dream and there's a clock in there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is convenient.
Yeah, I have no words.
Yeah. She takes it to her nerd friend. He's like, oh, well, there's a fucking clock in it.
There's a fucking clock, guys.
She's like, yeah, but it's a clock from my dream. It's a ticking clock. He's like, yeah, clocks, it's to do that, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's a dream clock, that is.
Then she's like, I think something's inside it. And it's like, oh. And she's like, what?
Smash the clock, you say?
Smash the clock with my forehead?
Yeah.
If you insist. Anyway, 5 minutes later, Lara's dead, but the clock's in shambles. And there's a secret clock inside the clock. That's not a clock at all. It's like more like a fucking metallic frisbee that lights up.
Yes, her nerdy engineer friend now has to take over the lead role of the film.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Nerd friend, Tomb Raider. And you just see him walking about fucking different parts of the world going, oh, what's this then?
Anyone know what his clock is?
Yeah, I can't read. What's that say? It says something about a coffee and a parrot. Hey, the coffee and a parrot is a monkey. Whoa. What?
Who is this man?
Who is this man and why is he broken into my toilet? Anyway, so what does she do?
She goes to an auction and meets Daniel Craig and his accent.
Yeah, she does recognise something about the clock. This is not a clock. She's like, it's the all-seeing eye. She
recognizes, oh, yeah, like, the that's symbol, it, yeah.
And she, yeah, she goes to the auction place where the guy, he's a really famous actor. He's a famous actor who did the voice for the Sorting Hat.
Oh.
I can't think of his name, but he's dead now. She goes to see him to see if he knows about the clock, and then she bumps into Daniel Craig at the auction house. And he's like, hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
So you still pretending to be a... whatever you're pretending to be. And she's like, oh, are you still pretending to be what you're pretending to be? And he's like, damn right, sugar. And she's like, oh, James Bond, how do you take it? And he's like, you know how I take it. And she's like, say the line. And he's like, no. She's like, look, I help you. She hands him a martini glass, puts the olive in it. She's like, go on. I'm going to hand you a spoon and then you're going to bat the spoon away. And as you do it, you're going to say the line. All right, cut. Daniel, come here. This is very important, you see. So we're making a film after this. It's called James Bond. And we need to know if you're going to be right for the role. So consider this a screen test. And he's like, oh, but I can't do two accents at one time.
You can't do one accent at one time.
I can't do accents.
You do seem to be doing two accents at the same time.
Hey, what are you talking about, man? I'm just doing that. But yeah, they have a little talk and it's like they're old friends and he fucked her over at one point, but she still likes him because he's handsome and, you know, that's kind of the end of it. So she goes into her, she finds her friend and goes into his office and is like, what do you know about this clock?
Yeah, there's a whole scene of him saying, I don't know what it is, I'm sorry. And then the next scene, he just calls her and says, you should go and see this guy. He might be able to help you.
Yes, Manfred Powell.
Yeah, what a villain name.
Yeah, Manfred. And then they just put Powell on the end and then E-L-L.
Yeah, that's how he'll correct you if you mispronounce it. Yeah. Powell.
But yeah, then we never fucking see him again. He's just like, when he puts the phone down, he's like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I'm like, why? I was expecting like a slow zoom out and then like someone had like a gun to his head or something. But everything.
Yeah,
was,
but this is it. It's just like the scene after he tells Lara he doesn't know what it is. Literally the next scene, he's calling her and saying, oh, you should talk to this guy. He might. Like, that didn't need to be two scenes. Could have just been one scene of her, you know, convincing him to like tell her what she knows, rather than just having a whole scene where he says, no, I don't know, leaving, and then another scene for him calling her and saying, actually, you should speak to this guy.
Yeah, I would actually prefer not to have this scene at all and just for us to just cut straight to the break-in scene with no explanation.
Yeah, maybe fucking whatever his name is, Powell, just had ways of knowing when that clock had been discovered.
Yeah, I would have been fine with that. It wouldn't have made this movie any more, like, ludicrous.
No.
But yeah, she goes to meet Power at his Indian Shag Palace, and Lara shows him a pic of the clock. And he's like, oh, I wish you'd brought it in person, Lara. And she's like, well, that wouldn't be very smart of me, I guess. Very savvy of me. There's like a French word for what I'm trying to think
of. I was just trying to think of what the French word is.
Yeah.
Very like...
That wouldn't have been very pomme de terre of me. That wouldn't have been very sacre bleu of me. Yeah. Like,
Not very Cannonbear.
That wouldn't have been very le question c'est voulez-vous of me. Anyway, so after that, Lara gets back home.
Yeah, and then fucking... matey boy, sexy actor man, sends a fucking Cuban hit squad to her house.
Yeah, but not before she does fucking gymnastics on a bungee rope in the middle of her lobby.
I was actually thinking that'd be pretty sick to have that in your house.
Oh, this entire house would have just been sick to have in general.
Yeah.
Everything about it was what I would want.
A freezer to lock the butler in.
Yeah.
And a butler who just won't die no matter how many times you shoot him. He's got a bulletproof tray he can just hold up.
But yeah, she knows that Colin Powell was a liar. So when this attack happened, she kind
Colin
of
Powell.
Was kind of expecting it. It's not Colin Powell, sorry.
It is now.
Oh, God. So yeah, fucking a SWAT team arrives and shoots up the place and we see Impossible Gymnastics and Survival.
Yeah, they try and go for a cheeky smash and grab and Lara goes all B-movie action hero.
Yeah, do it. She doesn't even think though. She just cuts their wires and they fall about 6 feet and then, but they seem to die.
I know. Well, this is the thing. There's so many gunshots fired. Nobody gets shot. There's no actual blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally, like, the only... And there are several instances where she literally just goes, like, does a bit of a judo chop to one of their backs or, like, sort of knees one of them in the side and they go, yeah. Oh, and crumble to the ground, like, defeated.
Yeah, she should have just... I would have preferred it if she just, like, tried to get away straight away and then ended up in, like, the garage.
Yeah.
That it would have made more sense. Oh, just fucking... what? It's just the fucking 2000s. So yeah, fucking hell, like, ridiculousness ensues and they end up getting the clock out of the house.
Yes, they do.
And she's like, they got the clock!
My fucking clock!
They fucking got the clock! How am I supposed to tell the time now?
Fucking Colin's got my clock!
I'm never gonna know when it's tea time. So yeah, fucking hell, they clean up the house the next day and fucking UPS shows up with a guy who's obviously never acted before who hands him a letter. And he looks around all like, whoa? And she's like, you know, I just woke up today and absolutely hated everything. And I thought that was probably the best line of this film.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's like, yeah, right. And then leaves. And I'm like, fuck off. This could have been your moment, mate. And you blew it.
Yeah, you blew it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a fucking letter from her dad that was like post-dated to this exact day. And it says, it just has like a poem in it.
Yeah, just a cryptic little like sample from a verse or something.
Yeah, that leads her to a book in the library that she ends up going straight to the back of and sees an eye and knows it's a secret passage thingy in the book. And she gets a knife and slices the book open. There's a letter inside. And there's a dad telling her all about the triangle pieces and he must prevent the Illuminati from uniting the two pieces. And she's like, yeah. Oh, okay, now I know exactly what to do and where to go and how to do it.
Thank you. And I just have to like moan about this. We might cut this because I don't think it's going to be particularly interesting. But the ancient Incas, Aztecs, or whatever it was that had the triangle to begin with, their whole reasoning was that like it's too powerful. We need to make sure that no one can ever wield the power of this triangle again. Yeah. So they split it into two pieces and hid the two pieces on like opposite sides of the world and they're only accessible every like 5,000 years when the things to make sure that no one ever gets to it again. This triangle is obviously just destroyable with enough force because Lara just blows it up with a gunshot. Why didn't they just fucking destroy it? Just hit it with a hammer and break it.
I thought the exact same thing.
Makes no sense.
It should have been an indestructible triangle.
Yeah. And they were only able to like break it by doing some kind of special ritual to split it in half. That's how they got the two sides apart. But you can't just destroy it with enough physical force. Otherwise, that's what they would have done.
Yeah, or maybe if, like, when it was last used, the power of it ended up breaking it in half. So to make sure it could never be reused again, that's why they hid it in different
parts of the world. Yeah, that would have been way better. And then their mission then becomes, like, I don't know, just stop the evil, to stop the Illuminati from getting it or something, and then keep the pieces hidden or something.
Yeah, and the pieces are hidden in places that you wouldn't have been able to get to back when it was first hidden.
But alas.
That's not what happens at all.
Not what happens at all. It's much, much dumber than that.
She flies to Cambodia.
Yeah, they're like, oh, how are you going to get to Cambodia in that short amount of time? She's like, I can call in a favour or something. Did she get on a Concorde when Concorde was still a thing?
I actually can't remember what she did to get there. I just remember her saying that and then her having binoculars in Cambodia.
Yeah, I have a teleport machine. Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember getting that off Amazon?
I have a drill that drills straight through the center of the earth. If I jump in the hole, I just come out the other side. I mean, China and Cambodia are the same thing, right? Well, they're at least walking distance, surely. Yeah, when she gets there, she puts on her binoculars and she finds Pao and Daniel Craig. Pao, like, on a fucking chaise lounge while, like...
Yeah, I know.
These, like, workers are trying to fucking pull down this wall of a tomb. And then he's like, Daniel Craig, it's not going fast enough. So Daniel Craig decides to fucking join in because he's going to make all the difference. And I was like, fuck off. It's, oh, God, I'm getting so mad.
They get it open, though.
They do, but not before fucking Lara takes a secret back entry.
Yeah, she takes it by the back passage.
Yeah.
Via a spooky little girl.
Yeah, who's like laughing and pointing to things. And then she points at Jasmine.
And Jasmine's like, all right. Yeah. I'm Jasmine. Let me show you my back passage.
Rub my lamp and put on my turquoise trousers. And Angelina Jolie's like, you're my least favourite Disney princess and I wish you'd died at birth. And she's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, do you like sand? She ends up in the tomb where everyone else ends up. And Daniel Craig, he sees the statue of the many arms and he's like, right, I'm going to put the swords from the statue into these slots and then put the clock here. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And right, so Lara Croft sees some inscription on the wall, like above where this is happening, and she reads it out aloud to herself. And I'm like, does anyone do that in real life?
No, especially not when you're trying to be really quiet from the men who will shoot you downstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But she sees some sort of... She knows that that's the wrong place to put the clock. And she's like, hello?
Yeah, hello? Colin?
Anyway, so Pao was like, oh, there's someone up there. She's like, yeah. That's not the right slot to put your thing in. There's a better one up here. And Daniel Craig's like, we've only got so much time before the plans align. We do this quick. And he does like a countdown. And he's like, 5, 4, 3, 2. And just before one hits, what's his name, throws the clock out to Angelina. She puts it in the slot, and then good things happen.
And then the huge swinging shaft tries to penetrate the bucket.
Yeah. And then they're like, this thing needs to fucking swing to pierce the bowl of water that the statue's holding. And so it doesn't, and then it swings back. And then everyone's surprised when it doesn't, like, go further the second time it swings. And I'm like, you know how, like, physics works.
Yeah, right? I know, like... right? I was thinking, if that thing breaks the thing on the second swing when it didn't break it on the first, I'm going to be so fucking mad.
Yeah. But yeah, they're like, it's not going to pierce the hole. So Lara's like, I know what to do. She jumps on it to give it some momentum.
Yeah, she rides the shaft.
Yeah, she rides that shaft hard.
Until the bucket squirts everywhere.
Yeah, sploosh. The water bowl empties, fucking, it runs down, makes the tower of
it makes
thing.
More stupid shit happen, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, then the triangle piece comes out and everyone's like, ooh, ah. And she grabs it and then she runs off, but then fucking the liquid animates the statues like it's the Power Rangers movie and...
Oh, yeah, the Megazord comes out with all the swords.
Yeah.
And all its arms.
Do you know what, though? The bit where the big statue came to life, I actually did find, like, legitimately quite scary.
Do you know what I thought was... Do you know what my favourite moment in the film was?
What?
Where it was when... So the statue's, like, swinging its massive swords around and stuff. And the big pendulum shaft is still swinging in the middle. The way Lara kills the statue is she does, like, a flying kick into the shaft and it changes its momentum and it swings around and it hits the... statue. I was like, all right, that was awesome, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I agree, that was cool. That whole, like, I guess it was probably no more than like a minute and a half maybe in total, but that whole bit, that very section of the big statue coming to life and dying, I thought was probably the best part of the film.
Yeah,
but that whole bit felt like this would be a bit in a video game, like, exactly.
Oh yeah, for sure, it's a boss fight.
Yeah, but Lara gets out alive. And
gets out alive, and then we have a whole other unnecessary bit where she goes and talks to some monks and
she's like, can I make a telephone call?
My phone got wet.
Yeah. Can I use your phone, please? That was an impression of Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs. So yeah, she calls Powell and she's like, and he's like, and she's like, and he's like,
What are you using the triangle for, Lara?
She's like, you'd be surprised, but it fits perfectly.
And it has a pulse setting.
Yeah. How about we find the other half and then we put it together. Then I put the triangle on top of you and I try to fit my penis through the hole in the middle. And we just see what happens.
Just like the Aztecs depicted on their walls.
Yes. They call it an Aztec chastity fight.
And there's something about coffee and parrots as well, but we'll figure that out when we get there.
Ah, it's a monkey as well. So yeah, Lara has like some meditation with some monks. She drinks some tea. It heals her fucking wound. She's like, oh, now I can't pee or have my period. No, she heals her arm. And then she makes a phone call to Powell. Powell's like, look, we need to work together. I have your clock. You have my triangle. Let's call the whole thing off. No, she's like, yeah, come to Venice and let's be friends. Let's just be friends. And she's like, oh, fine.
For fuck's sake.
She goes to the Illuminati Palace and her and Powell have some conversation.
Yeah, they do.
And he's like, you know, your fighting dad was part of the Illuminati. And she's like, well, my dad was part of the Illuminati. And he's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Like, you lie. And he's like, I ain't lying. Look, I have pictures. There's me and your dad on the Illuminati retreat. There's me and your dad in Aspen. There's me and your dad at a pool party. They got very out of hand. And I don't know what happened, but it ended up with his cock in my mouth and a dead body in the pool. So they join forces, basically, to find the second piece of the triangle.
Yeah, basically. And then we have another stupid scene in Daniel Craig's room. We have like some Daniel Craig unnecessary, like sexy shower scenes with the same lighting that Lara's were earlier.
I kind of wish, right? So he gets out of bed, gets out of the shower naked and then opens the door because he hears something and the maid throws something at him. And then Lara's in the room. And then she's like, look, if you go against me, then we can't be friends anymore. And then she's like, always a pleasure. And she looks down at his cock. And I was like, I wish that you guys had kind of just had sex right now.
I just wanted Daniel Craig to just fully hang dong in this film.
I wanted her to go, always a pleasure. And then her to grab the shaft and then him to go, let's do this. And then they fuck on the table and she's on top because she's a boss. And after she just gets off, puts on her clothes and is like, don't cross me. And then walks out.
See ya.
I'd have been like, yeah, you fucking... I see, just, do you know why? Because it would have given me a bit more context to their relationship.
Yeah, we don't really see anything other than them just being weirdly, like, they sort of hate each other. And that's really all we see until the end when she seems to kind of inexplicably care about him.
Yeah, I want it to be that there's a sexual tension between them that they can't deny, but they don't trust each other. That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, we didn't see that. I think that's what it was supposed to be, but it didn't come across at all.
Do you reckon maybe they did fuck in the original cut and they were like, we need this to be a PG.
Yeah.
So I need you to cut directly from when she says, always a pleasure to
the cum shot.
Yeah. Maybe if we see her, if we digitally remove the semen running down her leg, then maybe we can get a 12A. So she's just wiping at nothing. Yes? Can we do that? Can we do that? Do we have to mocap that? Anybody?
Yeah, human movements we can't do, but...
I was thinking, do you know what? I wish that... I would have preferred if this was the kind of body that Daniel Craig had in Bond instead of, like, the way more beefed-up version. Just my personal preference. I thought he looked really good in this film, and I think that I preferred this shape of him than to his Bond shape.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks great either way, but just, you know... But also, fuck Daniel Craig. I don't even like him. And he's married to Rachel Weisz and don't like her either. They're both a bunch of cunts. Anyway, so we'll cut that. I might work with them one day and they might listen to this and I will have to explain it.
Sorry, I was under the impression you were a bunch of cunts.
Can you imagine this? So I did a film with them, become best friends. I go around the house for Christmas dinner. It gets like noon and they just press play and this comes on.
And you're just like, oh, you subscribed to my Patreon.
Oh my God, thank you. Oh, thank you, Miss Patton. Like, do you want to explain yourself? And I was like, look, before I met you, I thought you were cunts. What can I say? And he's like, can't say fairer than that, mate. And gives me a shake on the hands and a pat on the shoulder. And then Rachel Vyage brings out the banana bread. Anyway, so they travel to the lost city of Lapland, and it's snowy, and Santa's riding across the landscape with his dear bottle of sherry and Mrs. Claus hanging off the back of the sled like a glorious falcon or like a fucking mascot on the front of a Rolls Royce.
But also like a Christmas ornament.
Yes. She jingles and is shaped like a ball.
Jingles all her bells.
Yeah, jingle all the way. Aye, said Arnold. Oh, God. So fucking hell, they go on this ridiculous excursion. She sees another spooky child and...
yeah, but it's the same. I swear it's the same little girl she saw in Cambodia, but this time she's Russian.
Is it?
I think so.
Ah, I mean, that whole bit was just dumb as fuck.
It was very dumb.
So they fucking get into the cave and they see a giant planetarium thing. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, like a model solar system thing.
Yeah, I feel like it must have a proper name. Planetarium is not actually... Planetarium's like a building that would house that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and where you could go... Yeah, and often like it's got one of those animated ceilings that like shows the stars and you can go and look up at them and stuff like that.
So I wonder what this thing's called. Maybe it's just called a model solar system and that's it.
Maybe.
Anyway, it starts rotating and shit because people are climbing all over it, which you shouldn't do, guys. Don't climb on things. And then...
Stop it. Look at that guy. He just got crushed.
That really upset me. Things like that, when I see deaths that are really horrific like that, I just think, oh, God.
I thought it was Daniel Craig. Because it happens so... Like, we see Daniel Craig jumping onto the thing and then cut to a guy whose face we can't see from behind getting crushed by two swinging things. I was like, what the fuck did Daniel Craig just die?
I would have respected the film a lot if it just did away with him like that.
Yeah, I was like, that's such a, like, just ruthless way to kill off a character.
But yeah, Daniel Craig's like, I bet it's in the middle of the sun. Not the actual sun, because otherwise that would have been a wasted journey here. But it's in the middle of this model sun. So he's like getting to it, and then Lara Croft's like, oh, I know exactly what to do. I need to put the clock inside the hole on the bottom. She's like, Daniel, throw me the clock. So he picks up the grandfather clock, hurls it out, and knocks her off the thing because it's 6 foot and very heavy. She falls in the water and she dies.
Hold it, clutching the grandfather clock all the way.
Yeah. And she's like, I meant the other clock. And he's like, oh, of course. The one that's shaped like a frisbee that would have been easy to throw. Sorry.
Never mind, I'll do it.
Yeah. Daniel Craig, Tomb Raider. Which he actually is in this film. He's another Tomb Raider. They call them Tomb Raiders. And I'm like, that's not an official job title. Shut up. So, yeah, she puts the clock inside the hole and she's sucked in. Hey, hey, hey. Anyway, so fucking hell, she puts the clock in the hole, she goes in the sun, and then she comes out. She has the triangle.
Yes, the other half of the triangle. Hooray! Wasn't that a satisfying climax?
I kind of, like, I would have liked to have seen what was inside the sun bit. I'm kind of sad we didn't get to see what she experienced in those 5 seconds that we didn't see her.
Yeah, she just sort of zapped through and came out holding it.
Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. That's the guy that's also on the expedition. Just every time anyone says anything, goes, hey, hey, hey. And they're like, I didn't even say an innuendo.
You said holding it.
You said in.
Yeah, you said in. That could mean anything.
You said in your end, though. Hey, hey, hey.
Will somebody kill this guy?
Yeah. I would kill him, but he's my brother. So the fucking... The main Illuminati guy is also on this trip. The guy who gave all the exposition at the start. And he's like, no, we will have godlike power and do all the things. And he goes to put it together. But power's like, I don't think so. He shoots him. Well, he doesn't shoot him. His team shoot him. Shoot all the main Illuminati guys.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, you fucking Illuminati cunt. Like that.
Anyway, so fucking hell. And then Pal grabs the piece of the triangle, puts them together, but nothing fucking happens.
Nothing fucking works. And then he throws a knife at Daniel Craig for some reason. And I can't really remember why. It seems very random and, like, forced and out of nowhere.
Oh, I think he says to her, like, you know what to do, right? And then she doesn't say anything, so he throws a knife, and then he's like, see if you show me what to do, or... And if you do, then I'll bring him back to life.
Yeah. It all felt very unnecessary.
I mean, yeah. He should have just thrown a knife at her and said, look, I've ruptured one of your organs. You've got about 2 minutes to live. If you show me what to do, I'll bring you back to life. But then she probably would have been, like, selfless and been like, I'd rather die. Alas. Daniel Craig falls in the water. He got fucking knifed in the heart and he's alive. He goes in the water. He does get trapped by the solarium thing. Maybe that's what it's called. No, solarium's like a fucking...
Like a glass house that captures the sun.
Yeah.
Like a greenhouse, but not...
No, what's the thing you put on the back of your house when you make a bit of money?
Conservatory?
That's it. Yeah. So yeah, he's like, so tell me what to do, Tomb Raider. She's like, right, there's this thing that we saw earlier that was dumb. That's like a time, like, suspension portal thing. Someone give me your laser guide things. I know that'll work.
Someone give me a tomb so I can raid it.
Yeah, someone give me a womb as well.
Yeah. There's only mine. I'm the only woman here. I'm the only woman in this whole fucking film.
Yeah. She is. Oh, God. And she throws the clock into this time suspension thing. It breaks apart, and then she picks the grain of sand out of the middle of it because that poem she read from her dad earlier on mentioned a grain of sand. She puts the grain of sand in the middle of the triangle, and then her and Pal get sucked into this dream dimension. We have to race to the top of a pyramid and grab the triangle, and she grabs it first.
Oh, yeah, all of that. I had kind of checked out by this point.
Yeah, it's so... down with a capital D and then just a picture of a dick instead of UMB.
I mean, it could say dumb or dick at that point.
Yeah, dick dumb.
This movie is dick dumb. Dick and dumb in the bungalow.
Bogies! So... she grabs it, goes to the tent with her dad. And he's like, Lara, I'm so proud of you. And she's like, why were you part of the Illuminati? He's like, I was, but I didn't mean to be. And she's like, oh, daddy.
I accidentally became the head of the Illuminati. Oh, I can't. Yeah. It's a terrible accident, Lara.
But I'm so proud of you. You got out to be so clever and beautiful and smart. And you hadn't had to work a day in your life, but I'm glad that you steal things from places that you shouldn't. And she's like, go, daddy, I'm glad I can always depend on you. Yeah. Like, you can always depend on me, in your heart, here. And he fucking grabs her.
In here.
Then they make out, and then he fucking just spits in her eye, and he's like, take that with you. My saliva's magic. And she's like, thanks, dad. She siphons it off, puts it in a little empty tub of Vaseline, and then goes back. And then she's like, quick, Daniel Craig, I've got magic spit.
Where's your womb? I need to raid it.
But yeah, she goes back and time is reversed to the point where the knife is flying at Daniel Craig from Powell's hand. She turns the knife around. It flies at Powell.
Yeah, which would not change the knife's momentum.
That's a very good point. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know if this would work in actuality.
Yeah, how does she change the direction that the knife's travelling in?
Yeah, really, she should have switched Powell and... him around.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure she could have do because she's a strong woman and they're both of them are not like massive blokes.
Yeah, and like time's frozen. That's gotta, you know.
She should have just picked the knife. I know she couldn't because she did struggle.
Gravity requires time to have an effect. Oh, so they should just be weightless.
I saw a fucking meme tried to explain the theory of relativity and I literally, my brain could not handle it. I was like, I don't stop it with your science. Yeah.
Take it back to the lab, Mr. Scientist. Yeah.
She should have just gone back to that moment, fucking pushed Daniel Craig out of the way and then shot him in the head. Daniel Craig, that would be fucking a bit of a waste of time, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But she, you know what, I've changed my mind. I'll raid my own womb.
This will stop you from making Spectre. Powell gets knifed in the chest. And then the place starts to collapse because she's destroyed the triangle with her gun. And then Power's like, wait a minute, I've got a stopwatch from your dad that contains a picture of your mother from like 1912.
Yeah, oh my God. And everyone's like, Lara, you can't, this whole place is coming down. But she's like, no, I'm going to go back and fight. So then in the crumbling tomb, and time is very much of the essence, they point guns at each other. And then he goes, no, no guns. Let's do it hand to hand. And I wanted to turn the fucking film off. I wanted to do what you told me that you do recently. Like 80 minutes into a 90 minute film, just be like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Oh, yeah, it was dumb. She should have just shot him from across the way when he told her about that pocket watch. She could have shot him. If she really wanted the pocket watch that much for sentimental value, she could have just quickly ran back and then grabbed it and then joined the rest of them.
Yeah, instead they have a lengthy hand-to-hand duel.
Yeah. Because he tells her that he shot her dad in the head because he'd become a traitor to the Illuminati once he found out that they were trying to do stuff.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah. That's more detail than I got.
Yeah, he took her dad out into a fucking mountaintop and shot him in the head because he couldn't have done it inside the tent because it was too warm.
Couldn't have a corpse in the tent.
Yeah, bullets don't travel in warm climates, Lara. So they fight, and then she—I don't know. She gets to a point where she gets him on his knees, and then she like arm clubs him in the throat. And I was like, did he die from that, or did he just get knocked out? I wasn't quite sure.
I don't know. I just wrote she wins, obviously.
Yeah, she runs out. She fucking finds a pack of dogs that haven't run away from the impending doom because. I don't know.
Because they're just the dumb ones, I guess.
Yeah.
She finds the dunce class of the dogs.
It's a fucking super, like, inbred pot. It's a fucking a pack of poodles that are immaculately, like, quaffed. Yeah. And they're like, oh, is something bad going on? Woof. She's like... So she fucking gets two planks of wood, makes skis out of them, and is like, that word that you say to dogs, mush, that's it. Yeah. Mush. And they're like, mush?
And they're like, I say, did you say mush? I think so.
Oh, I love mush.
Is there some at the end of this cave? Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, I do hope they have some drinks with it. I would expect they do. Mush is usually served with champagne. Champagne, Nathaniel. So anyway, Lara's not getting anywhere, so she just shoots one of the dogs in the head, and she's like, if the rest of you don't fucking move.
Yeah, no mush for any of you.
Yes. There was only two of you and one of you is dead now, so you better fucking run really fast. Oh, God, fine. God damn it, with the things I do for mush. So the poodle drags her to the end of the fucking cave. She gets out. And then we're back in her house.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're back in her house.
Back at Croft Manor.
Yes, and look at the extensive character development because she's now wearing a dress.
Yes, and her butler's like, ah! And she's like, not a word. Anyway, she fucking goes out into the garden just to look at her dad's memorial and doesn't really do it. I thought she was going to put a bit of jasmine on it, but she doesn't. And she goes back in, and then we see Nerd and Red Dwarf standing there, and Red Dwarf's got a tray covered in a cloth. And she says something, and then Nerd guy fucking gets the robot out again.
Gets his robot out.
Yeah, he's like, look, I made some fucking enhancements to it. This time, when you press this button, it vibrates at the speed of sound. And she's like, oh, God, that's all I've ever wanted to do is orgasm to a sonic boom.
Then we get freeze frame finish.
Yes. Where's your head at?
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the film, and what a film it was.
Yeah, what movie it was. I'll give this a solid 2 out of 5, I think.
I was thinking 4 out of 10, so math tells me that that's the same thing.
Where's Matilda when you need her? Yeah, just fucking... I'm kind of want to rewatch the second one now, just to see if it was any good.
I thought you might. Because I was thinking that I would think it was terrible in the way I thought National Treasure was bad, but you loved it.
National Treasure was like, I feel, do you know what? Because like this is just bad, and you might feel like National Treasure was bad as well.
National Treasure was better than this.
Yeah, And there was like a, I don't know what it is about National Treasure that I like. I just think it was just fun, I think. Whereas this wasn't fun. It was just laborious and stupid.
Yes.
At least in National Treasure, like the stupid bits are like kind of enjoyable at the same time.
Yeah.
I guess. And yeah, I guess because National Treasure, like there's like a lot of comic relief in National Treasure at least. So the stupid bits don't seem as ridiculous because there's like comedy in it. So you kind of get the sense that the film itself is not taking itself too seriously.
Yeah, where there's very little comedy in this film.
I don't remember anyone saying anything funny ever in this film.
There's that Lara, I woke up and decided I hated everything line.
That.
And then there's like Daniel Craig going after he gets out of the shower and Lara leaves him and goes, well, now I need to have a cold shower, which I think was supposed to be comedy.
Do you know what? I remember, like, I rolled my eyes at that, but I was like, fucking hell. Is this what we're, like, 2001.
A Space Odyssey.
Do you know what, though? We shouldn't be surprised. This was literally 20 years ago. And so, like, what do we expect?
Well, what? They made good films 20 years ago.
No, they did. But also, like, you just... Yeah, I don't know. What's a good film that came out in 2001?
I don't know. I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of what year films came out.
Yeah, I can't think of a single one, to be honest. I can't remember any films from 2001. I just remember that the fourth quarter of that year was not a pleasant one. Anyway, so fucking hell, the end of Tomb Raider. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I hope you guys had a rollicking good ride with us anyway.
Yeah.
Even if the film was shit, we're sorry that you had to watch it for a frame of reference. Yeah. Maybe you just didn't and you just gleaned everything you needed to know from the poster, which is fair.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And now I need a cold shower. Ah! Reference joke.